Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Tuesday. We are thrilled to have former Georgia star defensive back Brandon Boykin with us in studio this morning. Talk a little football with him. Talk a little about what's going on in him. Welcome to the show, Brandon.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
So I guess the first thing is tell the Georgia fans what you're up to right now. You're kind of caught between two worlds, but I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so obviously living in Atlanta, enjoying this great Atlanta weather now in the spring, but it's crazy because this is about to be year 7 for me in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
Goes by really fast. Currently a free agent. And wanting to do, television, radio, broadcast in my second career. So, as this time I have as a free agent, I'm just trying to, dive into that world and do all those type of things. And I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it so far. And we'll see how it goes.
This is the best time to do it, too, in the off season, so you can get a chance to, get your chops and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a grind, though. It's not that NFL money.
No,
it's definitely not the NFL money, but it's a good living. It's a good living.
But, I mean, it's fun. So if I can do something that I enjoy on a consistent basis.
Yeah, you'll never work a day in your life.
And that's why I'm enjoying it.
So it's cool. You've been working with my good friend with Annie Hoffman and Annie Hoffman Goodrich in the broadcast boot camp and learning all the little tricks of the trade. Trust me, after 40 years, you still learn something every single day.
Yeah,
that's just the way it is.
So you were at G-Day. So what did you think of G-Day when you were up there?
It's always crazy to go back in that environment as a former player and be able to just kind of soak everything up as a player. But as far as the team, I was excited to see the quarterback battle just like everybody else with Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. And I thought Justin Fields did an amazing job. So that's the buzz that's going around right now is a quarterback competition with him and Jake Fromm. Defensive-wise, they lost a lot of guys. I wanted to see the secondary. I wanted to see the young guys, what they were going to do and step up. And they made some plays. And that part of the defense is what I'm going to be focusing on as they go into this season.
Speaking of the young guys, I know Coach Smart said something about the young players are going to have to step up, because they haven't been tested.
Yeah.
Do they come and talk to you when they know you're at GDA or anything and try to get some pointers from you when they're out there?
Not really. When you're at GDA, they had recruits around and things like that. And if you're affiliated with the NFL, kind of, you got to stay away from everybody.
Oh, okay.
But at the same time, there's some guys on the team that I do talk to on a consistent basis that I kind of grew up talking to, guys like Elijah Holyfield that I talked to, and kind of can get a feel for the team or what the young guys are thinking. And obviously, it's going to be a new team this year. They lost a lot of seniors. Every year, the identity is different, and somebody's going to step up. I think Elijah's going to be that guy to step up to replace Sony and Nick Chubb, him and Swift, and they got some other guys coming in. But on the defensive side, they got to find those guys that are going to be the staples on that side too.
Former Georgia star defensive back return guy, great return guy, Brandon Boykin in studio with John and Hugh. You're talking about the Dogs, and you look at Georgia. We use this term here. If Georgia is at Alabama's level based on what happened last year, and how disappointing, by the way, how heartbroken were you, man?
I was really heartbroken. I was at the national championship. What better time to win a national championship than being in Atlanta?
At DB to let the guy get behind you, you're like, no!
I was in the end zone when the final pass was called, so that's etched in my brain forever.
And that after 2012, right? And against Alabama, too, on top of everything else. Yeah. Not to bring back bad memories. Sorry, I'm not trying to do that. But if you're really going to be at that Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson level, and you're going to be reloading and not rebuilding, that's what you have to do this year. You can't go out there and do 8-4. That ain't going to cut it.
Right. Absolutely. And last year was a magical season. Nobody expected Jake Fromm to come in and pick up the slack and win so many games. So if they don't get to that level this year, people are going to think it's a letdown. When in reality, that honestly was Coach Rick's team that he inherited, those seniors and those guys. So he's getting his guys, and granted, they're getting an amazing group of young guys and people that are coming in. But this year in particular is really going to be able to show what Georgia is made of, being able to have just as good of a season as last year, or if not better. But we're expecting that.
Brandon Boykin joining John and Hugh, talking a little football with the former Georgia star and, of course, former Philadelphia Eagle.
Yeah.
So how'd you feel about that Eagles Super Bowl win this year?
I was excited for him, man. I really was, because I've got a lot of friends still on the team. And you kind of knew during the season that they had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And as the season continued to go on, you saw just how they continued to win games and how confident they were getting every single game. And I just had a feeling like they're going to make it for sure.
But Nick Foles, though, did you see that one coming? Nick Foles going all the way to the Super Bowl and winning it. Did you actually envision that?
But I did. And people, you gonna say I'm crazy, right? Like me and you talked plenty of times when I was in Philadelphia, Hugh, and you know the city of Philly. You can feed off of the fans. You know that. You mm-hmm. know how the momentum is in Philadelphia. And Nick is a guy that is just even keel all the way. So that first game he came in, he didn't play good. He played terrible. And the fans was on his head hard. But the fact that Nick is so even keel, it allowed him to go out and have a good game the next game. And then what the Philly fans, you know how the Philly fans are. Oh, they love you. You're the greatest thing ever. So once he had that good game, I had a feeling, he's going to continue to pick up this team and keep it going.
One of your years, Brandon Boykin with John and Hugh in the NFL, you were second in the NFC in return yards, over 1,000 yards, Brandon.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier this morning because the news came out about probably an hour ago or so, a little over, that the NFL has said this morning, they're meeting in a safety meeting, and that the Troy Vincent is saying this morning they are not going to eliminate kickoffs, but they are talking about they will change kickoffs this year. Now, what modify kickoffs means, we don't know.
Yeah.
But are you among us who are getting concerned that the kickoff may be, I don't know, on the chopping
going
block?
Going the way of the dinosaur, extinct.
I've got some mixed feelings about it. You know, obviously the kickoff from a health perspective, it's not the best play in football. You know, when you talk about concussions and crackback blocks and wedges and things like that, but it flips the field, and it's a game changing play. And when you take away kickoffs, you really level the playing field on so many levels. And honestly, taking away kickoff is going to take some jobs from people.
if you take away kickoffs, we don't have Devin Hester.
Right.
We exactly. don't have the greatness that was Devin Hester in the NFL. And that's how, like, I understand they're trying to make the game safer, but you're taking away a staple. At the beginning of every Super Bowl, when the ball is kicked off, all you see is the cameras flashing. Mm-hmm. The flash is going off mm-hmm. when the ball is kicked off. I don't know how they're going to – I know they're trying to make the game safer now. I know they with all these lawsuits and everything, that's what they're trying to do. But I don't know how you can take kickoffs out of the game. I don't think you can do it. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't see how either. Like you said, without kickoffs, there really would have been no me. That was my identity in college. As you know, as a freshman, as a sophomore, before I really established myself on the defensive side, I was mm-hmm. a kick returner, and that's what got the attention of, you know, the people at the next level, being able to be a special teams guy. And there's plenty of people like that in the league. You know, they're specialists, and you take that away, you're taking away, you know, the special, you know, abilities of some people that are in the league and have played a long time.
Well, we're talking with Brandon Boykin, former Georgia star. And Brandon, one of the things that I mentioned to you, this is news, and I wanted you to comment from the news angle on it. But also, B, you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, as we talked, that you are, you know, transitioning now towards the end of your playing days, or what you hope, you know, would extend out. I would imagine that your major selling point is to talk to teams about being a return guy, A, first, before being a defensive back. Is that fair to say?
And in terms of
your game, I mean, when you're trying to go out there right now and sell Brandon Boykin to go into a camp here with an NFL yeah. team, you know, that's still the return guy in you that separates you.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a part of it. Absolutely. The more you can do, you know, the better you'll be at that next level. So that special teams ability and the capability of returning kicks, punts, running down on Gunner. And you know, those things don't leave. It's guys that are in the league 9-10 years, and they still have to play that special teams part. And that's kind of been my role in the NFL. And you take that away, and, you know, you're not as valuable anymore. So that's something that they have to think about when they try to make all these rule changes, the culture of football and what it means, not just to the sport, but to the entire game and the feel of it.
And I don't think people really realize how hard it is to return a punt.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize how hard it is to actually catch the ball
yep.
while you have people bearing down on you trying to take your head off. I don't think they realize how hard that is to do.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, when you're watching the game, it looks like it's happening so slow, but
they moving fast.
I'll tell you what. In college, I felt like kick returns came easy to me because I had never done it. I never returned a kick until I got to University of Georgia. My first kickoff, I ran for 100 yards. So I thought it was.
Oh, I got this.
That's how it's gonna be all the time.
Like, yeah. So that was my expectation. I think that's why I was successful, because I was like, this is my expectation every time I touch the ball. But when I got to the NFL, it completely changed. It's like the hole might be open for a half of a second, and it's almost impossible to get a touchdown on kickoffs in the NFL. It's an art form. And like you said, you talk about somebody like Devin Hester, who had repeated touchdowns, who probably will be a Hall of Famer because of that. Like, it's a special talent, and it shouldn't be overlooked, and it definitely shouldn't be taken out of the game.
Talking with Brandon Boykin, I want to go back to the Georgia Dogs for a moment and your experience with the Georgia Dogs. What change have you seen in the program? I mean, besides, you know, the players, but the difference between Mark Richt, and you're a Mark Richt guy, yep. And what Kirby does with the program now, what's the biggest change you see?
Oh, man, it's all about the players. It's all about what the players want. And I love Coach Richt, and I came in with Coach Richt, and initially I didn't even want to go to Georgia because I had never really had anybody at Georgia. I never experienced Georgia. But when I got to Georgia because of Coach Richt and the things at Georgia, I wanted to come. But when I go back now, it's everything that the youth want, Kirby is providing for them, whether it's the music, the culture, the uniforms, the clothing, the everything that makes, you know, being a recruit exciting, being a part of college football exciting. Kirby provides that. So all you have to do is come in and do your job, and you will enjoy the experience. And that's what's been so great.
Because you and I were talking about this. I mean, Georgia's always been a top-tier program. Yeah. But suddenly they become – what was the word? A destination. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now they're the go-to. You know, it's not just they're in a pile with seven other teams, eight other teams, 10 other teams, and fighting for the same guys. Now when Georgia walks in, they go, oh, Georgia here.
Exactly. I mean, and that's, from my experience of recruiting, I went places and I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, like, I like the campus, but they're missing this. Or I like the football aspect, but they're missing this. When you go to Athens now, it has everything that you need. It has from a football perspective, from a college perspective, from a college atmosphere feel, from just the experience of being in the stadium, it's the closest thing, honestly, I feel like you're going to get, obviously, all of SEC football. It's the closest thing you're going to get to feeling like you're in the NFL, and they're creating that atmosphere for those guys, and they practice that way, and they prepare you for everything that you need, and I think that's what's so enticing about UGA right now with Kirby.
Now, of course, you know, he is flying a helicopter. Would you be a little overwhelmed at that? All of a sudden, you're on the sidelines, and here comes, you know, Coach, you know, because Saban did that too, right? I mean, yeah. You kind of started the whole, I'm going to land the helicopter next to your field, and everybody go, what is this for? Oh, this for me.
Exactly, right? That's a recruiting tool. Right? If a coach came to see me in a helicopter, I might commit on the site. And that's what it's about.
Helicopter flying.
Brandon Boykin joining us, talking a little bit about broadcasting, a little bit about the NFL. So how do you get back into the NFL? I mean, do your agent just call around to teams? How does it work for a guy like you to get a look?
Yeah, well, as a veteran and as a – I've been playing nickel my entire career, so a nickel – special teams type guy who's been – I was in Baltimore last year, got injured, so obviously that wasn't ideal. But, you know, through the course of the season or through the course of OTAs and things like that, people figure out what they need or what they didn't get in the draft. And it really is just a game of patience, and that's what I've learned. My first year of free agency, I was so eager to sign. It had been like 5 days, and I was panicking. I was like, "What? Why haven't I signed yet?" And I just kind of was like not thinking things through and signed. And that's the advice that I'd give anybody. Like, that's the worst thing you could possibly do is just panic. Like, it has to be the right fit for you. And if that's something I've learned in, you know, these 7 years, just to be patient. So it'll come. The right opportunity will come. And I'll be prepared for it.
So what is the timetable that you've given yourself as far as signing with a team this year, in case you want to just move on? What's the timetable you're giving yourself?
I'll give myself the entire year.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'll be working on what my other passions are and what other things I'm interested in doing. What better place than Atlanta? Like, I live here. I went to school here. And, you know, there's so much opportunity here. So I feel like I can do both and then, you know, train and continue to do the things that I need to do.
And those passions include what?
Those passions include television. I majored in journalism at University of Georgia. Television, broadcast, fashion, fitness. I'm trying to look like Hugh and I.
No, Hugh's trying to look like you.
Trying to look like Hugh and work out.
Nobody trying to look like me. Thank God for you guys.
He was trying to get to that size.
This is the perfect town, though. I mean, this really is. It's become the hotbed for so many things.
So much.
I mean, Atlanta's like the New York and L.A., the new version, all rolled into one between Hollywood and television and all the opportunities.
Yeah. And it don't get that cold. And it don't snow. It don't snow. That's the best part.
And you don't have to deal with
Hollywood
L.A.
Hollywood of the South. That's what it's called.
Exactly. Cool. Brandon, it's been a great pleasure to have you in studio. You know, love to have you come back. Hopefully you lock it down with the team this year, and we'll be talking to you as a player again.
Absolutely.
But hopefully get a chance to catch back up with you, too.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure.
Thank you guys for letting me come on. And, you know, when I'm winning a Super Bowl this year, I'll come back.
You're going to be on the Falcons then, huh?
Hey, I
knew
you
were going to say that.
Brandon Boykin has been in studio with John and Hugh, and we thank Annie Hoffman Goodrich and all the fine folks with Broadcast Bootcamp for that as well, too. All right, when we continue, some of the stories about the hot teams in town, the Braves and Atlanta United. Oof, man. Been in April, hasn't it? Already in May. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Energy.
Off to Almiron at the penalty spot. Shot! Score!
The Vibe. The unmatched loyalty. Our Atlanta United play here. Sports Radio 92.9.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John Furke and Hugh Douglas. Our thanks again to Brandon Boykin for being part of this. This hour of the show is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. Yeah, Brandon's got a future in doing this. Sometimes, you know, Hugh, as a former player, you know how difficult it can be for former players. Of course, he's kind of a current player still, to break into this business. Because you have to have that little it factor. Too.
Well, you got to be patient because, I mean, you know, coming from playing in the NFL and doing radio or television, sometimes you're not making that much money out the gate. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people need to realize, that you got to start somewhere. And I think that most guys that want to do this, they don't realize that, you know, this is a real job. And, like, you know, it's not like you're going to get into the NFL and you're making, like, what, $300,000 or $400,000 a year. It don't work like that in radio, and you have to work at it. So yeah, but yeah, he could definitely do this. No question about that.
And to that point, though, do guys, like, I mean, when they're throwing $4 and $5 million at Jason Witten, who's never done this, to go do Monday Night Football? I mean, does that, you know, throw a monkey wrench? Other guys go, wait a second now. I mean,
well, everybody's not going to be in that category with a Jason Witten. It's obviously because of what he's done on the field, it has put him in a position to you know, command that kind of money or even warrant that kind of money. So, I mean, that's because he's a, you know, he's a Hall of Fame player and he's played a long time. So people are going to pay for that. But yeah, you know, there's some, like, if you do this long enough and you get your chops right, you can make a nice living doing this.
Right. And you know this too, again, and I've seen this happen. A lot of, you know, players who want to, in their next life, you know, I mean, if they want to be in television or radio or coaching, I think some players think that, well, what's the easiest route? Or let me step back. The players that have a desire to possibly do this for a living think, oh, that's pretty easy. And they get in and realize it's not that easy, Hugh. I mean, you got to work at this.
It all depends. I mean, this could be fun. But I think that you have to be in the right situation for you. But this definitely can be a fun job. But you have to be in the right situation. You have to be surrounded by some good folks. But this could be a fun job, definitely.
You know, it'd be interesting to see if Brandon manage to land with the team, and if he does, we'll certainly follow him throughout the season here and update you, because I think based on that, well, I'd love to have him back and talk more with Brandon Boykin at some point in the future here. So we have a poll going up today, and as we're talking about the hot teams in April, the Braves, here it is, first day of May, the Braves and Atlanta United are coming off Aprils where they have positioned themselves to either be in first place or knock it on the door of first place, and so many stars that have risen their games up in what was a remarkable April. Matter of fact, Wendy, didn't you say something to me about how we were talking off the air about how this April is, we should go back and really kind of examine how great this month was in this town.
In Atlanta sports.
Yeah.
As well as our pro teams did, we had a great draft. I mean, we had a Georgia guy win the Masters. I mean, all around, it was a great month for Atlanta sports, and we should really embrace these kind of months because you never know when they're going to happen again.
And that was the source of our poll question this morning, our Vision Computer poll question, which is up at our our Twitter at 929 The Game.
Yes, 929 The Game on Twitter and Facebook. Who had the best April as far as Georgia athletes goes? Was it Ozzie Albies, who had 8 home runs, Miguel Amaron, who had 5 goals, Calvin Ridley, the first round pick for the Falcons, or Patrick Reed winning the Masters? 61% of people say Ozzie Albies. It's kind of been a runaway all morning. 23% Miguel Amaron, 10% Patrick Reed, and 6% Calvin Ridley.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what kind of love or attention Ozzie Albies gets for a player of the month. I don't know if he wins it, but boy, he should be right up there. Even if he doesn't win it, he ought to be right up there with the month that he produced for the Atlanta Braves, because it was a tremendous month. It was kind of month that Ozzie Albies had, Hugh, that makes you wonder. Again, he's now the second youngest player in Major League Baseball behind Ronald Acuna Jr. How good this guy, what's his upside? You know, this guy looks like he could be a player.
He got off to a great start, John, and he's playing well. I mean, he's everything that people build him to be. Last year, it's just that he's starting to pay those dividends this year. So the sky's the limit for him. If he keeps up at this pace, there's no telling where he could potentially end up. Maybe an all-star.
Yeah, maybe an all-star. I mean, he could be having an all-star kind of season. And I think he would be – I need to ask this of Grant again, but I want to say that Ozzie Albies is up for – available. He could be Rookie of the Year. No, there's a line at which you can and cannot. He's past that line.
He's past the line. People forget he played 2 months last year.
Right.
And I read that he was past the line, so he's not eligible. But Acuna could be if he continues what he's doing.
You never know, right? Exactly. How about these two teams, Atlanta United and the Braves? I think – here's my take. Tell me if I'm way out here, okay? I think Atlanta United has proven that it is capable of winning the Major League Soccer, the MLS Cup. I think they are a threat to win it. Or am I wrong? I could be. I mean, I know it's early, but I think they've proven that they are a threat to potentially win the cup.
They're playing well. Now, I mean, but when you say it like that, John, I really don't know how to respond to that. I mean, because I'm looking at the schedule, and they got a ton of games still left on their schedule. I mean, and that's being very, very optimistic. You know, you got the Chicago Fire coming up this week, and you still have to play Sporting Kansas City and Orlando City. So there's a lot of soccer still left to be played. So it's hard to say at this point. But are they off to a great start? Yes, they're off to a real good start.
Yeah, 7 unbeaten streak of 7 in a row, outscoring teams 21-5. They haven't lost in 2 months. They are a beast to deal with at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, of course, we know about the disappointment of the Columbus Crew playoff game last year. But this is a better side this year. I mean, Barco has made this a better side. There were some other minor changes to a team that's now come together, having played somewhere around 40 games or 40 plus games together, and so I think that this not counting friendlies and exhibitions. So I really like where this team is headed. I think that they are so much fun to watch. One of the great things about Atlanta United is that here the knock against soccer for non-soccer people was that nobody ever scored, because back in the day the kind of game that the English Premier League would play was almost, in the 70s and 80s, it was almost designed to be a draw. They played very tight defense. They hoped to get that one goal and then just sit on it, okay? And Atlanta United plays an entirely different style. They want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 goals.
That's the thing, John. They play aggressive, and they don't let up. You look at the game, you look at the match they had last week when they started scoring, when they got out their scoring drop from the first half. The first half, they were still pressing. They were still trying to score, and that's the biggest difference. They don't sit back and try to protect the lead or try not to score goals. They're constantly trying to score goals.
So this is why I have so much optimism, and all the pessimists, all the negative Nancys and the Debbie Downers that exist in Atlanta sports. Oh, woe is us. We've got the one title in '95, and I'm not talking about the Dream or the Swarm, I tip my hat to you guys. I'm talking about the big leagues here, and so we got one title. We've lost two hockey teams. We suck. We choke all the time. But yet, I think that's just a take. You're backward thinking here. Start looking forward. The Braves, young, fun, fast, have young stars and young pitchers coming up to go with these young hitters at United. Young, fast, I mean, exciting to watch. The Falcons, a young, fast team. And, of course, the Hawks are going to be, once this draft is over, a very young and fast team. There's young speed in this town that if you start to look out, you start to think, hey, listen, there's going to be some magical stuff that could happen here.
There's potential. There's potential for that, John. But I think everything happens. You got to kind of – you know, just let it happen. Just let the magic happen. And throwing all these big to-dos on them and saying they're going to do this, that, and the third. Still a lot of, like for Atlanta United, still a lot of soccer left to be played. For the Atlanta Braves, playing well at this time of the year. Still a lot of baseball left to be played. But it gives you hope and optimism that they could be exactly where you want them to be towards the end of the season.
You hang around, Wendy, a lot of the Atlanta United fans. Are they where I am, or are they more cautious than I am? Are they thinking, hey, listen, this team is potentially do you get that sense from the 17s?
I think that's the case with anybody who goes to even an Atlanta United match, that they are the best team in MLS. I don't think there's a doubt that the team will lose a game at this point. Until they show that they can actually lose a game, I think everyone...
But wouldn't that opening game give you some pause? I mean, they didn't just lose the opening game. They got to be 4-0.
But to continue this unbeaten streak, I think that's out of sight, out of mind the first game. I think that really put Atlanta
United
on
their toes. But isn't that a danger, too, that it's out of sight and out of mind?
No, because I think the players still use that to fuel every single day. I forget which player we had on who said that they do think about that, and Tata Martino reminds them every game of how they started the season, and I think that just has been fueling the fire to continue to do as well as they have been.
Well, I know it's good to feel, Hugh, that the fans in this town are excited about the new club in Atlanta United, and it's really good to see the excitement again for the Atlanta Braves, because it's been... What's the term? Has it been a minute? If you're fairly new to Atlanta, back when the Braves won the 15 straight division titles and the World Series in 95, and yeah, there was a lot of heartbreak in there. The World Series losses to the Twins, to the Yankees, to the Blue Jays. But yet there was the love affair between the team and the town was noticeable. This was a Braves town for a long time. And I haven't felt that in a while, so it's good to feel that again.
It's exciting to watch them play. I can't stress that enough, you know, watching them play this year, watching potentially what could happen. Even when they're down in some games, you know, I still tune in just to see how they're going to fight back and rally back. They've done that a few times this year. So, yeah, it's definitely exciting to watch them play this year.
Talking about some of the headlines this morning, and, of course, the Braves are going to be in New York to face the Mets tonight. First place on the line this week, the three-game set. At Citi Field in New York with Noah Syndergaard against Sean Newcomb tonight. And then the Braves finally return home this weekend against San Francisco for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday set against the Giants at SunTrust Park. But then they're right back on the road again to face the Rays and the Marlins down in Florida. What does this work out to be? See, 4 in Cincinnati and then 3 in Philadelphia. That's 7. 3 in New York is 10. And then 6, So in a 19-game stretch between starting with that opening game against Cincinnati and until the middle of May, in a 19-game stretch, the Braves will play 3 home games. Man, you better make your hay on the road. So far, so good, though, because they're 4-3 on the road on this trip so far, and they are above 500 on the road for the season. So, I mean, again, I don't know what's going to happen with the Braves. I'm gonna enjoy the ride on the Braves.
I suggest you do it. It's and Atlanta United. It's been a great run for both teams. So just enjoy it.
And with Atlanta, yeah, I mean, Royley, nobody wants anything in April. Good grief. Well, I don't know that. You can win a draft. You can win a Masters.
No, I do not agree. You can't win a draft. Who won the last draft that they had? Who won?
Last year?
Yeah, who won the last draft?
New Orleans Saints.
They won it? They won the draft?
Yeah.
They gave out trophies for those?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Division titles.
In your world.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you could have a good April. I mean, nobody wins anything except for the fact that I think that the Braves, I'm going to enjoy the ride. But I got to tell you, Atlanta United, my expectation level is really high.
That does not surprise me, John. Your expectation level is always high for everything. Your expectation levels are high for dinner.
Well, there is truth to that tonight because I'm having my wife's famous pork chops.
But so, it's going to be really good.
And it's going to be really good because they are really good. The National Signing Bonus Contest returns next week starting on Monday. The code word's 9 minutes after the hour between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and you can win $1,000 every hour starting next Monday. We'll return with the National Signing Bonus. When we get back, some of the stories that we may have missed today in the Wendy Zone on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Millennials are educated.
You tickle my intellectual fancy.
Connected and diverse, except when they're not.
Just a tip. Just a tip.
I'm sort of like the show, actually. The Bunker Mentality. Evenings from 7 to 11. Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Just your daily reminder before I get into my stories that I will be going 22 stories off a building, rappelling for Special Olympics and descent athletes to compete in the state games. I'm a little over $800 away from my main goal of $2,000, so I retweeted a link at 92.9 The Game. If you have $5, $10, more, whatever you're able or capable to donate, I could definitely use.
When are you eating the crickets?
Whenever Daryl brings in that bag of crickets.
I have an update on the crickets.
Oh, you have an update?
Yes, I looked at my registry to find out what time they will be here. Okay. They will actually be here this Thursday. So on Friday, we will be eating crickets.
Sweet. So like right before I get ready to go.
Indeed.
Oh, so this might make for an interesting Saturday morning when I do end up rappelling. I'll have yummy crickets. But at least the money is going to a great cause.
Great cause.
I'm willing to do it because these athletes mean a lot to me. Oh.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I'm going to bring a lot of water. And maybe just... I don't know, a slice of pizza to just get rid of the flavor. Well, I call this thinning of the herd. So before I get into some sports stories, this guy really didn't think through his master jailbreak plan. A 22-year-old guy named Mark Swartz of Forestville, California, had a four-day jail sentence last week for a DUI. 4 days. He was locked up on Thursday, set to be released on Sunday. But apparently, that was too much time on the inside. So on Friday night, what did Mark do? 2 days into his sentence, he escaped. He ran through the yard, scaled a fence with coils, you know, the ones that have that razor wire on top, cut himself up pretty bad, dropped down. Less than 6 hours later, he was found in a creek. The cops took him to the hospital for his injuries, and they took him to a more secure jail. But mind you, a four-day sentence, he is now looking at a charge of felony escaping, which could get him up to 1 year in prison. But hey, that's like 182 chances of trying to escape again. But 4 days in jail, and you couldn't do it. You had to escape.
I don't know. Maybe he got into jail and said, this is for me. How do I stay in here? I like this. 3 squares a day. I don't have to make my bed.
But you would just think 4 days. Hang on. You got it. 4 days. But now he's looking up to 1 year.
Yeah, it's not that bright. Jail is not.
Again, thinning of the herd.
Yeah, jail is not cool. But
not cool.
But you could do 4 days. It'd feel like five. It'd feel like a week, but you could do 4 days.
Four over a year is definitely a lot better. Well, for most people, if someone wrote you a check for $1,000, you'd probably make sure to cash that thing as soon as you possibly could,
yeah, I would
right?
think so. I mean, if it's good, you betcha.
Apparently, NFL players, you aren't among those people because the money that was found by the Kansas City Chief was a check for $1,200, a little over $1,200 in their books, and it belonged to former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson, who found out about the check this week when the team sent him a notification through the mail. He actually tweeted the image, and the twist on it is that the check is from 2010, which means the Chiefs either have the slowest accounting department in the NFL or they really wanted to milk out the interest of this $1,238.11. But Larry Johnson, the former Chiefs running back, also sent this tweet. This is a first. I've never gotten a letter from an ex before telling me I left money at their house. Thank you at Chiefs. Love, LJ.
So it was money, from the team to him that they owed him some expense money or something?
It was part of the money that he earned while playing for the Chiefs, and he just found out that,
bucks coming
you need to go ahead and cash this before it expires. And so he got a notification from who he calls his ex, the Chief.
Found money, that's like $20 in the pair of pants that you put on, you know? Hey!
Yeah, I feel like we see these stories a lot. Is this something where, like... some players just don't have direct deposit, or do you not direct deposit?
I've had that happen before, and sometimes you forget. I know it sounds crazy.
It does sound bananas. I just looked at you like forget. Sideways.
Yeah, because I did that one time. I don't want to tell you how much the dollar amount was that I forgot, but it was, I forgot.
You need to go on and tell that.
Yeah.
It was from Jacksonville.
And
I guess it was like I was in such a hurry to leave. I didn't get my last check from Jacksonville. So they sent it to me when I was with the Eagles. They sent it to the Eagles when I went there for my last year in the league.
Four? How much did you not direct deposit, Hugh?
What?
$200,000.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're trying to run away from $200,000?
Yeah, I forgot.
How do you just...
Yeah, nah, I don't think I could forget $200,000.
How do you forget that, Hugh?
I don't know. I was going through a lot. I've been going through a lot.
Going through a lot right now, listening to you say that.
No, it was. I mean, that's what I say. When you said it, I got quiet because I was like, "Yeah, I did that before." And my wife kind of looked at me like, "You're an idiot. Like, you're an idiot. You're probably one of the biggest idiots I've ever seen." Yeah, but I forgot. I had forgot because usually, I would direct deposit, like you know, at the beginning of the season, just put everything, you know, and forget about it. And I didn't do that. I didn't do that this time. So yeah.
But you still had time to cash it, right?
Oh yeah, I cashed that thing as soon as I got it. It was like Christmas. Hey, Christmas.
Woohoo, extra money I didn't know I had.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, Waffle House here, James Shaw Jr., remember this is the man who wrestled an AR-15 out of the hands of a shooter, got one heck of a welcome at the Nashville Predators game on Sunday. It was pretty awesome. The NHL team invited Shaw and his entire family as VIP guests to the playoff game versus the Winnipeg Jets to thank him for his bravery that he showed during that April 22nd attack at that Nashville area Waffle House. Before the game, Shaw was wearing a shirt that said "Spread Love," met with Predators coach Peter Laviolette, who presented Shaw with his own personalized jersey. During the game, Shaw was featured on the big screen at Bridgestone Arena. The crowd went absolutely bananas, as they should for this guy. As for the game, Predators did win 5-4 in double overtime. And Shaw's injury seemed to be doing a lot better. Wasn't wearing those wraps around his hands because he had gotten burned from grabbing that barrel that was pretty hot.
Yeah, no kidding.
The shooter was active. So he saved a lot of people's lives in that. So he got a hero's welcome at the Predators game.
You know, pretty the Predators, incredible. I'll catch them every now and then on Fox Sports Hub. They do a really good job of around the game.
Yes.
I mean, the around the game stuff is
They're
really well done.
They're very involved in the community, and it's nice to see.
Hey, you can join 92.9 The Game Saturday night starting at 7 at the Big Tex located in downtown Decatur. That's going to be our watch party for Chicago Fire and Atlanta United. Big Tex, downtown Decatur, beginning Saturday at 7.
Where's Greater? Indicator.
Indicator, downtown Decatur at Big Tex for Fire and United Saturday night starting at 7. That's our watch party. Rick and John coming up top of the hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.